read the whole section, verses 1 to 10, so you get the whole story at once, beginning in verse 1. I want you to follow with me in your Bible. Luke says that Jesus entered verse 1 and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. I would say he was very rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press or the crowd, because he was of little stature. And so he ran, verse 4, and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, and he was, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And so he made haste, verse 6, and he came down and he received him joyfully. That Zacchaeus received Jesus into his home joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured, verse 7, saying that he was gone to be the guest of the man which was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day, verse 9, is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. One of my favorite stories is a story about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is the great Victorian British preacher. He's called the Prince of Preachers. He started what was called the Pastor's College, where he was training men to preach the word. And every Friday afternoon, he would actually get all his students together in the chapel. And he would call on one of the students to give an extemporaneous sermon. And Spurgeon would tell him the text and the theme that he was to preach. And then you would have to get up just without any preparation, and you'd have to read the text and preach the text. Well, one afternoon, Spurgeon called on a young man who was a little bit nervous about the meeting, and he told him to preach a sermon on Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. So this man with trembling got up on the stage, and he said, Number one, Zacchaeus was of little stature, so am I. He said, Number two, Zacchaeus was up a tree, so am I. He said, Number three, Zacchaeus came down, so will I. And he ran down off the stage immediately. I understand that man's fear. This morning, we're going to look at a story that we all love. If you, like me, grew up in Sunday school as a little boy or girl, you sang the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. What a blessed story. And there's so much theological and biblical truth that is packed into this little short story about Zacchaeus, which we've all grown to love. It's one of the best loved and best known stories in the Bible, by the way, only found in the Gospel of Luke. Now, the key text to our whole story and to the whole book of Luke is verse 10. Look at it with me. It says, For the Son of Man. And Jesus is actually speaking in verse 10. If you have a red letter Bible, it should be in red letters. The Son of Man, and that's a messianic term from Daniel chapter 7, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' divine mission and the reason for his incarnation, becoming man, was to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what the story of Zacchaeus is all about. When it looks like Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus, we learn that Jesus all the time was seeking Zacchaeus. If you're a Christian, the same is true of you. We think we're seeking God, but then we discover that all the time he was first seeking me to seek him. So what a marvelous lesson we learn in the story of God's grace in calling us by his Spirit. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary was going to have a baby, the angel told him, saying that you should name him Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, Christ came, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now there's four sections to our story, and I want to look at them one at a time if you're taking notes. The first is verses 1 to 4, where we see Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. First in the story, Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. Go back with me to verse 1. It says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now in verse 1, you have the context. Jesus has been down in the Jordan Valley on his way up to Jerusalem. And on his way into the city of Jericho, he healed blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and he went and followed Jesus as well. But now he's entered into Jericho. He's going to pass through, but he's going to have to spend the night in Jericho before he heads up to Jerusalem, and he's going to stay at the home of Zacchaeus. So he's entered into Jericho. Now, Jericho is a main city on a trade route from east to west, north to south. All the people coming from the east to Jerusalem and to the west would have to pass through Jericho, a very wealthy city, a lot of palaces and big estates, very beautiful place, very, very wealthy. And so he is passing through on his way to Jerusalem, where he would actually be crucified for the sins of the world. Now it says, behold, verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now, the name Zacchaeus, we can't be absolutely sure, but it's believed means clean or innocent, and some translate it righteous one. Now, it makes you chuckle a little bit if you know the story, because Zacchaeus was anything but a righteous man. Notice verse 2. He was chief among the publicans. So he was the head of all the tax collectors. Now, if you've been around studying the Bible any length of time, you know that publicans were hated and despised by the Jewish people. They were Jews who were turncoats. They were serving the Roman government. They were actually collecting taxes for Rome. Now, nobody loves tax collectors even today. If you work for the IRS, come up after service, we'll pray for you. But you don't really just, oh, praise the Lord, the tax collector's here today. Isn't that wonderful? But the fact that they were working for Rome made it even worse. You know that they were not allowed to go to the temple? They were not allowed to go to the synagogues? They were despised, they were rejected, they were outcast. And what happened was, is Rome would actually sell a franchise in a district for taxes. And they would actually then collect the taxes, and then they would give them to Rome. But what they could do is anything they collect above the taxes would go in their pockets. Now, the fact that he was the chief tax collector means that he was at the top of the pyramid. And they actually sometimes would even hire thugs to beat people up, to get money out of them and scare them and intimidate them. They would have to give more than Rome required, so the tax collectors were getting rich. But even all of the region that Zacchaeus actually has as his franchise for tax collecting, he was actually collecting from other tax collectors. So he was very rich, very wealthy, and it was a legitimate job, but he would also get his money by fraud or by embezzlement or by roughing up somebody. So it was a very, very seedy, kind of despised profession, and no one would have anything to do with the tax collector except for Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost, so Jesus had to go through Jericho because he had a divine appointment with this man named Zacchaeus. Now notice, not only was he chief among the tax collectors, but he was very rich. He was very rich. But there must have been an emptiness in his heart because he wanted to know who Jesus was. and he began to seek him out. Now, remember just a couple of weeks ago, we read the story of the rich young ruler. You remember that? And how he went sorrowfully away, would not follow Jesus because he had great riches. And Jesus had said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. And he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus turned to the crowd, and he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Isn't that interesting? Today we're going to see the story of a rich man who actually does go through the eye of the needle, and he comes to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye, the disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said these words. He says, with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So the story of Zacchaeus is the impossibility that God does in saving this very wicked, rich individual. All things are possible with God. No one is outside the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And no one would ever think that Zacchaeus could or would ever be saved. But I believe we're going to see Zacchaeus in heaven. Maybe you'll be sitting next to him at the marriage supper of the Lamb and you can talk to him. But Zacchaeus is going to be in heaven, and there's going to be a lot of surprised people when we get to heaven seeing who's there. I think some people will be surprised to see you there. They're going to be going, what are you doing here? Just like you, I believed in Jesus Christ. I was born again. I trusted Christ as my Savior. So no one that day would ever in their wildest dreams imagine that Zacchaeus would become a follower of Jesus and that his life would be changed or transformed. So in verse 3, it says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I like that. Now, why did he seek Jesus? Well, let me give you some possibilities. Perhaps he had seen the change in his friend's life, Levi, who was a tax collector. His name was also Matthew. You know, the Gospel of Matthew was written by a tax collector whose name was Levi. And maybe he saw that Levi's life had been changed by Jesus. Perhaps he heard Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, and he was looking for a friend. Or perhaps it was the emptiness in his own life. You know, many times you can have all that money, all that power, all that position, all that popularity, and it's still emptiness. Money cannot buy you happiness. And maybe it was out of his emptiness that he was seeking Jesus Christ. And maybe thirdly, he was looking for real love. He was looking for love in the wrong places, as so many people do. You know where you're going to find love? In Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus will love you like no one has ever loved you, and will love you through all eternity. So he's seeking maybe for love, or perhaps he was simply tired of his sin and wanted to come to the Savior to be forgiven. I love it when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls. Are you coming to Jesus today? Are you turning to him? Are you running to him? So Zacchaeus was coming to Jesus. He wanted to know who he was, verse 3. Now, do you know who Jesus is? You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. God become flesh. A lot of people are confused about Jesus. They think, well, he's just a good moral teacher. He thought he was the Messiah, but he really wasn't. Or he claimed to die for our sins and rise from the dead, but he was misguided. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there's one God, eternal God. But that one God is manifested in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're only one in essence. There's only one divine being, but they are three persons. You go, I don't understand that. Neither do I. Welcome to the club. But that's how God reveals himself in his word. So God the Father sent God the Son, and God the Son came voluntarily from heaven and was conceived in the womb of a virgin named Mary. So God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, came from heaven. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born a little baby. The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. The eternal Word, the personal Word, the divine Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He's God in flesh. Why? So that he could go to the cross and die, the sinless Son of God, for the sins of the world, to redeem us and pay for our sins and bring us back to God. So Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. Why? For two reasons. Look at verse 3. Because of the crowd, the King James Bible has press, but he's not talking about the newsmen. He's talking about the crowd. And because, secondly, he was of little stature. So Zacchaeus was a little man. He couldn't see over the crowd. He couldn't see around the crowd. He couldn't get through the crowd. The crowd was there coming through the downtown street of Jericho. Jesus was with them. They were following him. And he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know who he was. He was hungry for God in his life. But something was keeping him from seeing Jesus, the crowd and his little stature. So Zacchaeus did two unbecoming things for a man of his position and in that culture. Number one, he ran, verse 4, look at it with me. He ran before, and number two, he climbed. Now, that's something that no man of any dignity in that culture would ever do. You don't really see old guys running that much today. If you do, you're kind of, well, old guy, he's running down this. I won't talk about how old is old, but you know, you're old, okay? I get myself in trouble with the sermon, two things. He was short, I talk about little people, and then old people. I'm not a little people, but I am an old people. But men, period, never ran. It was unbecoming. And then secondly, certainly, Old guys don't climb trees, right? So he climbed a tree. It says a sycamore tree. It was likened unto the oak tree we have here in California, the California scrub oaks. Large branches that go out sideways, very low to the ground, so Zacchaeus could climb up into the branches and see Jesus as he was coming. So he ran and he climbed a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, that I want to emphasize. And he came how? Humbly and sincerely. Remember, we must come as little children. Back in chapter 18, the children came to Jesus, and Jesus said that those who enter in the kingdom must come as little children. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, the prophet said, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." So verses 1 to 4, Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. And picture this big, wealthy tax collector up in this tree looking down on the crowd as they came by. But here's the second movement of the story, verses 5 and 6. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. It says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Now, at that point, Zacchaeus' heart skipped a beat. It was like freak out time. He's looking at me. No doubt he said, no one will see me up in this tree, and they'll just pass by and I'll get a good view of him. But Jesus stopped. He looked up, saw him, said to him, speaks to him now, "Zacchaeus, make haste," which is hurry up, "come down. For today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And everybody in the crowd, we're going to see, murmured. They freaked out. This is insane. Where is he going? He's going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, here's the point I want to make, and I'll develop it more as we go. But Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking Jesus, but he discovered Jesus was actually seeking him. You know, when you become a Christian, you many times think, I'm seeking the Lord. And then when the Lord finds you and you're born again, you realize he was seeking me. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, some people don't like this concept, but I do believe that it's biblical, that God seeks us first, that God chooses us by grace, that God pursues us, that he sends the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. So the whole reason you're saved is because God was first seeking you. God was convicting you. God was drawing you to Jesus Christ. Someone put it in a poem, I sought the Lord and afterward I knew. He moved my heart to seek him seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found of thee. What a blessing. Jesus was all the time seeking Zacchaeus. Now notice again in the verse 5, when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Jesus knew where he was. You know God knows where you're at right now? Do you know that God sees you right now? All things are naked and open before the eyes of him of whom we have to do. You know that God actually knows what you're thinking? Some of you are in big trouble right now. He knows what we're going to think before we even think it. That's radical. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows you intimately and personally. Jesus saw him. Then Jesus called him by name. And he's thinking, how does he know my name? He knows your name. He knows everyone's name. He has the very hairs of your head all numbered. For old timers, that's always not a big job either. But to think about that, he sees me, he knows my name, he calls him by name. And then he says to Zacchaeus, I love it, verse 5 and 6, make haste, come down. These are actually imperatives in the Greek, they're commands. Jesus is telling Zacchaeus when he's up the tree, come down. And that, notice this phrase, I must abide at your house. Now, the phrase abide at your house means I'm going to stay at your house. I think it's cool. Jesus invited himself over. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to hang out at your house. And that abide at your house means literally I'm going to take my coat off. I'm going to kick my sandals off. I'm going to settle down. I'm going to relax. I'm going to put my feet up. And he didn't even tell him how long. He didn't say, just for the day, just for the afternoon, just one night, we'll be gone tomorrow. He just like, I'm gonna abide at your house. And notice the must. That's a very important phrase. It speaks of what we call the divine mandate. I must. Jesus must needs go through Samaria because there was a woman there by a well that he needed to talk to it. She needed salvation. Jesus must go through Jericho because there's a tax collector there who needs to be saved. And he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And then I love it that Jesus invited himself to dinner and to his house. It's biblical. Give it a try after church. Stand in the foyer. Hey, you, I'm going to your house to eat today and to hang out. Watch the Super Bowl. Hope you have some good snacks. Jesus invites himself over. I love it when he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and have fellowship with you. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Now, how would Zacchaeus receive him gladly? Verse 6, joyfully, which indicates that he was already believing in Jesus as the Savior. He would receive him by faith. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as receive him, To them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Now, I want to ask and answer a question really as clearly as I can without getting sidetracked on a deep theological doctrinal issue, and that is the question is, does God seek us and choose us, or do we seek him and choose him? Which is it? And I believe both are taught in the Bible. I believe God saves us by grace, and God saves us through faith, which is our faith in Christ, believing and trusting in him. Now, how to reconcile the two, that we're free to resist God's grace, to say no to God's salvation, and the idea that God saves me by grace, I can't reconcile the two. Again, to quote Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said, I don't have to reconcile friends. I believe that both are taught in the Bible and that they're reconciled in a higher unity that God knows and understands. But in some way that we can't quite fathom or comprehend, God chooses us to be saved by his grace. But we must believe, we must receive, we must put faith in Christ, we must trust in him as our Lord and Savior, or we will be lost. So you say, well, I sought the Lord, but in reality, the Lord was seeking you by his grace, drawing you to himself. So I believe that both are taught. Now, what I don't believe is that regeneration, which is the technical theological term for being born again, that's the moment you're saved when you're regenerated, which means to be given new life, does not precede faith. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I don't believe that God has to regenerate us in order that we might believe. Some say because we're dead in sins, we don't have free will, and we don't have the capacity or ability to believe. And I disagree. I think to be dead in sin means to be separated from God. This is so often forgotten. The etymology of the word dead, you know what it means? Separate, to separate. When you die physically, your body and soul are separated. You leave your body. So if you're dead in sins, it means you're separated from God. And it's not salvation in order that you might believe. You believe in order to be saved. John, in writing his gospel, the fourth gospel, said, this was written that you might believe, and that believing you would have life through his name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You must believe. And it's a whosoever gospel. You can trust and believe in Jesus and be saved. But this story is a picture of how we, like Zacchaeus, think we're seeking God, but all the time, praise his name, he is actually seeking us. What a marvelous thing is the grace of God. Jesus, I believe, is seeking you right now. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you must believe and trust and receive in Christ in order to be saved. If God is seeking you, God is convicting you. If you hear God's voice and you sense God calling you today, the Bible says don't harden your heart. The Bible says now is the acceptance time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the third section, beginning in verse 7 to verse 8, is that Zacchaeus is now transformed. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. The sinner sought the Savior. The Savior sought the sinner. And now Jesus transforms the sinner. Verse 7 and 8. Let's read it. So when they saw it, that is the crowd, they saw Jesus going into the home of Zacchaeus. They murmured. The word murmur is a transliteration of the word that it's written because that's the way it sounds. So they're going, what word do we use for murmur? It sounds kind of murmur, 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 murmur. So they write murmur. So that's just basically a word that describes the sound when you're murmuring or complaining, murmur. So instead of saying, praise God, thank you, Jesus, you're going to save this wicked man. Maybe he'll lower our taxes. They murmured and complained that he has gone to be the guest of the man that was a what? A sinner. Pray tell me, who else could Jesus go to eat with? All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Zacchaeus came short of the glory of God, for sure. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. There's no one righteous, no, not one. So they put this class together called sinners. They thought they were good and righteous. They were self-righteous. He's gone to be the guest of the man that is a sinner. Now, an interesting point is that if Jesus was trying to win the approval of the crowd, if Jesus was trying to win friends and influence people, he would have never gone home with Zacchaeus. He would have avoided Zacchaeus at all costs. He lost all the support and the approval of the crowd because of his divine mandate, his divine mission. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember the parable of the lost sheep? The lost coin? The lost son? The shepherd seeks the sheep. The woman seeks the coin. The father sees the son coming, runs after him, seeking him. God is a seeking Savior. Jesus came to seek and to save. But Jesus wasn't trying to win the applause or the approval of the crowd. You know, sometimes as Christians, if you, an evangelistic outreach, go places that sometimes other Christians will get upset with you. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't talk to these people. Jesus was a friend of sinners and publicans. Now notice Zacchaeus stood then, verse 8. Now there's a huge gap between verse 7 and 8. There's a lot of things that we don't know. Did they eat dinner with the disciples, party to the conversation? What did they talk about? What did they say? What went on in the house? We don't know the time frame or what developed. But all we know is Jesus went into Zacchaeus' house. And the next scene is Zacchaeus stood. Now that word stood in the Greek literally means to stand and make an announcement. To stand and make an announcement. To stand and make a proclamation. A declaration. So he probably stood up from the bed that surrounded the dinner table. And he said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, Adonai." He believed that Jesus was Lord. "The half of my goods." Now this guy was super rich. Very rich. And he says, "I'll give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything by any man by false accusation." And don't be confused by the "if" there. It's a clause that actually means "since I have taken by false accusation." He says, "I will restore to him fourfold," which was the requirement in the Old Testament for restitution if you stole from somebody. Four times what you took needed to be restored. Now, anytime a tax collector gives money back, you know they've been saved. This dude is saved. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that when you get saved, that you're a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become brand new. There will be a change in your life. Zacchaeus had a new heart. Zacchaeus had a new life. Zacchaeus had a new love. Now that he found Jesus, his money doesn't mean anything anymore. In the book of James, it says that we're saved to display works. We're not saved by our works, but works is the fruit of the evidence of our salvation. By grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Zacchaeus was not saved because he gave half his money to the poor. He wasn't saved because he gave back to those he defrauded four times restitution. He did that because he was saved. You don't want to change society? You want to change the world? preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Change the world one heart at a time. When Jesus comes into a person's heart, their life is changed. Changes marriages, changes family, changes people, changes businessmen, changes tax collectors. It'll even change politicians. They can't change, believe it or not. When Jesus comes into a person's heart, their life is transformed. What a marvelous truth that is. Zacchaeus was changed, truly had a new heart. Now, last but not least, number four, Jesus makes a declaration. Jesus makes his own declaration. Zacchaeus stood, verse 8, and said, now Jesus says, verse 9, unto him, this day, the emphasis, these are emphatic statements, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today, right now, salvation is come to this house. Salvation is a person, it's Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes into your heart, you have salvation. It's come to this house. For as much as also is he a son of Abraham. What does that mean? It meant as Abraham believed God by faith, and God imputed righteousness to him. Genesis 15. Abraham believed God's promise, and God said, you're righteous. That's the basis of how God justifies the unrighteous. So now he's not just a Jew. He's a true son of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ and by believing the promises of God. And then that closing summary statement, verse 10. For the Son of Man, which is, again, I said, a messianic title, the one Jesus used most often for himself, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, if you're a Christian, you can't read that without saying, thank you, Jesus. You sought me, you saved me by your grace. How would he seek and save the lost? Through the cross. Jesus would go voluntarily to the cross, lay down his life for the sins of the world. He said, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. He saves us from sin's penalty, from sin's power, and one day when we go to heaven, from the very presence of sin all together. I love that verse. It's the theme of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the friend of sinners. He loves you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. And he is actually seeking you. If there's any sense in your heart right now that God is speaking to you, that God is drawing you to himself, don't harden your heart. Hear his voice. Respond. As Zacchaeus received him joyfully, so you need to receive Jesus joyfully into your heart. Make your heart Christ's home. Amen.